Hello, and welcome to show number 2503 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
Our eye is always on that end goal of employment. And again, not you can go bag groceries employment. And I don't say that like that's a bad thing, but for so many people with disabilities out there, that is not enough. You know, so many people out there should be software engineers. They, you know, should be Salesforce admin and developers and architects. And but there's no reason they're not, other than stigma and misconception. And like I said earlier, you know, we truly feel it, but technology is the greatest equalizer. Technology is really what's leveling that playing field.
And we're all well aware of the underemployment issues for visually impaired people, and that's what we'll be talking about today.
The Blind Institute of Technology, or BIT, empowers people with disabilities through skill development, training, and career placement. We'll talk with Christy Schenderlein, Director of Operations at BIT, about their innovative programs, funding model, and the critical role of assistive technology in workplace success, as she alluded to just now. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Christy Schenderlein.
For those people who are actively pursuing a career, first and foremost, make sure that whatever assistive technology you need, you are very proficient at. So not just a level of, I can use it with Word or I can browse the internet, but that you are very comfortable with it. You use it efficiently, effectively. You are able to troubleshoot with your assistive technology so that if issues arrive, especially in the workplace, more than likely you're not going to have anybody there to help you. So you're going to be able to troubleshoot and problem solve on your own. Also, hard work, tenacity, perseverance, you know, being proactive. Don't sit and wait for things to come to you. You know, don't wait for your vocational rehabilitation counselor to come to you with jobs. Be active in networking, in pursuing whatever career it is that you want to pursue. Reach out to other organizations. Become active on LinkedIn. You know, really work hard. Finding a full-time job, whether you have a disability or you don't, is difficult. So just keep at it. I would just say, yeah, just keep at it.
You know, that is great advice for anybody looking for a new position in the workforce. And I would add to that, that it is also important to be able to explain and, if necessary, demonstrate to a prospective hiring manager that all of that is true for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
People can be so uneasy about entering into a realm that they've never experienced before. And so if you're the one with the experience using the adaptive tech, just show them and tell them how everything else becomes a non-issue because you're good with that.
Absolutely. It's actually human nature to be uncomfortable with something that is not like you. So whether that be, you know, a sighted person that is now around somebody who's blind being uncomfortable, that's natural. Vice versa, it's also natural for somebody who does not have sight to be uncomfortable around somebody who's sighted. It is human nature, but if you take control, if you show that person that you are confident, you are accepting, you know what to do, then that person will follow along. If you approach it where you're timid, you know, you don't know what help you need, you let them guide, it's inevitably not going to work in your favor. You know, people with disabilities have amazing skills that others don't, or that others don't have as refined as we do. I always say when we're leading a workshop and I ask people, okay, give me 10 of your strengths or 10 soft skills or essential skills. I always tell them that, you know, people with disabilities immediately should have problem solving, should have adaptability, should have a tenacity at the top of their list, because those are skills that you, I don't care what type of disability you have. You absolutely have to learn those and learn them quickly and use them every single day of your life. You know, if you're a person who uses a cane and you're walking to the bus stop and it happens to be trash day, you immediately have to adapt to get around those garbage cans without, you know, stepping into the street, getting hit by cars. You need to still get to your bus on time. You need to immediately problem solve. How am I going to get around this? Those are just skills that we have. And those are very well sought after skills in the corporate workplace. So don't sell yourself short. You know, absolutely be confident in the skills you have and where it is that you want to go, and you'll get there.
Well said.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
InnoSearch AI, an accessible e-commerce tool for the blind. You can find your favorite electronics, groceries, or do some early holiday shopping at InnoSearch.ai, now partnered with over 500,000 retailers. That's InnoSearch.ai.
And by
Glidance, pioneers of Glide, an intelligent guide for the blind and low vision community. Glide's AI-powered technology guides you around obstacles, hazards, and more, providing audio and haptic feedback, getting you where you need to go safely and independently. More information is at glidance.io/eyes. That's glidance.io/EYES.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by meeting Christy.
My name is Christy Schunderlein. I am the Director of Operations at the Blind Institute of Technology.
So this is the Blind Institute of Technology. Do you have a visual impairment yourself?
I do. I have Stargardt's disease.
So you have very limited vision?
Right. So essentially, for those who don't know, Stargardt's disease is essentially known as a juvenile form of macular degeneration. So I have some peripheral vision. I have no central or distant vision.
I take it you use a variety of assistive devices, screen readers, and things like that?
I do. I am a JAWS user. I am an iPhone lover, so I am using VoiceOver. I do use a white cane as well. And then really, you know, whatever I get my hands on as far as apps are concerned, you know, I am not a huge techie, but, you know, I do use Aira, I use Sing AI. And, you know, when I hear of a cool app that's going to help me out, especially with navigation and maintaining my independence, I absolutely will hop in there, check it out.
Eyes on Success connects corporate sponsors with visually impaired listeners around the world.
More information about becoming a sponsor can be found at www.sponsor.eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is the Blind Institute of Technology, or BIT, and the programs and services they offer to empower people with disabilities through skill development, training, and career placement.
Well, I thought we could start out by having you give us an overview of what the Blind Institute of Technology is and what its mission is.
Absolutely. So the Blind Institute of Technology is essentially a nonprofit staffing agency for professionals with disabilities globally. Our mission is to help employees and the employers who hire them find success in the workplace. You'll notice I said professionals with disabilities. We're focused on the corporate-ready professional. So those career seekers who are proficient in their assistant technology, so whether that be you know, screen reading software, or for low vision users, say Zoom text, magnification. We do work with all types of disabilities. So whatever assistive technology you need to use to, again, you know, maintain your independence, use the computers, et cetera, we need you to be proficient in it so that essentially you can open the doors of a corporate office, sit down and start your work. Our job is to get you those opportunities to do so.
And presumably your clients have already completed their educational training. So if they want a job that requires a degree in whatever, they've got that.
Yes and no. Our end goal is always employment, but we help people get there in different ways. So we have, I call them our non-academy career seekers. So those people that, you know, just as you said, have come in with education, maybe they have a degree in, say, computer sciences or finance or human resources. Maybe even they have experience. Maybe they've experienced their disability later in their career. So they may come in with, you know, 20 years of experience, then became disabled, lost their job for whatever reason, and are now ready to get back to work. So those people are my non-academy career seekers. So those people, they come in, and if they're looking for a position, especially in their field, our job is to get them a job in those fields in the corporate environment. We also have our BIT Academy, which is our workforce development arm. And the Academy is for those people who want to essentially level up their skills in primarily the tech field. So currently we offer two courses. We offer Salesforce administration. We also offer digital accessibility analyst courses. And so with those, you know, you do not have to have an education behind you, but really it's for those people, again, who are seeking a career, a good, sustainable career in the tech field. So again, this is Salesforce administration, digital accessibility analyst. Both of them, the courses are designed to prepare you to sit for the industry recognized certification exam. So we don't take you through our courses and then give you a cute certificate at the end and say, look at you, you got a certificate, and it really doesn't help you with anything. These are preparing you to sit for the same exams that anyone would sit for to get this certification. So for Salesforce administration, it's the Salesforce administration exam that is presented or given by Salesforce themselves. For digital accessibility analyst, it's the CPAC, or the Certified Professional in Accessibility Core Competencies. And that is essentially governed by the International Association of Accessibility Professionals, or IAAP.
So it sounds like you're sort of a mix between an employment agency geared specifically to people with disabilities and also an organization that provides some training to enable people to get the jobs that they're seeking.
Exactly, exactly. We go a bit further, and really the way that we combine the two is we do have two U.S. Department of Labor registered apprenticeships. They are the only two registered apprenticeships for the blind and visually impaired. Again, we do work with all professionals with disabilities, but I do want to note that there are no other apprenticeships for people who are blind or visually impaired. So the way we work is essentially you go through our courses. You obtain your certification, you're then eligible to apply for our apprenticeship programs. And internally at BIT, we have a Salesforce consulting service. We also have a digital accessibility consulting service. So those apprentices would work alongside our professionals, completing accessibility audits, accessibility consulting, or Salesforce administration integration, implementation. So we're providing not only the learning, the training with the certification exams, but then the on-the-job training so that somebody could then go and get an entry-level position in one of those fields with that 1 to 2 years of experience that all entry-level jobs ask for now, but are extremely difficult to get.
I was going to say, I'm always amazed how many organizations are looking for people with experience, but where do you get experience until you've had it? So this sounds like a great way of working in an environment that's a little bit more safe and protected and a little bit more supportive. And then, as you say, also gaining some experience. So then when you're out in the real world looking for a job, there you are with some experience.
Exactly. And we really put an emphasis on professional skills. So not only are we working with people to get the actual technical skills they need, but we also work with people on the professional skills. There's a lot of people in our community that have never worked, even though they absolutely have the ability to, but have never worked simply, you know, because of the stigmas and misconceptions of people out there that, you know, blind and visually impaired can't work. You know, how would they use a computer? So a lot of people don't have those professional skills. You know, we'll call them, say, character skills, essential skills. A lot of people call them today, you know, how do you behave in a meeting? You know, how do you discuss deadlines with your boss? How do you make sure that you're meeting deadlines? You know, so we really make sure we're trying to focus on creating a very well-rounded professional so that when they are getting that job in the real world, we'll say for the first time, they're not coming with just the technical skills. They're really ready, again, as I said, to open that corporate door, sit down and do the job. They've got the opportunity and they're ready to go.
I think a lot of those skills that you just highlighted are very much underrated in some sense, because although you might have the professional skills to do many jobs, a lot of these other skills are very important in order to be successful at the job and interact with your colleagues, et cetera.
They absolutely are. And most hiring managers today are saying that they actually are more interested in those essential skills. A lot of people can train. You know, you can train somebody to be, you know, a software engineer or a project manager. You can train those skills. But sometimes it's difficult to have, you know, the leadership skills, the troubleshooting skills, the adaptability skills. So again, we're really working with people to develop those. Essentially, what hiring managers are looking for is how effective will this employee be? And if we can develop our career seekers, so again, they're very well-rounded, they absolutely can present themselves, that they will be the most effective person in that hiring pool, then the hiring managers are absolutely ready to go with it.
Well, and especially for somebody who's in a situation where hiring managers might need to be a little bit more open-minded in terms of giving them a job, like people with disabilities, it's an opportunity to demonstrate that they are capable and get a great letter of recommendation from somebody who's been able to witness their ability to perform.
Absolutely. And what's great about our apprenticeship programs on both sides, on both the accessibility and the Salesforce side, our team is working with many different companies, whether they be nonprofit organizations or corporations. You know, they're getting exposure to a lot of different sizes of business, styles of business. All of our clients know that, you know, our mission and that our goal is to get our apprentices the training that they need. We've had several clients that have actually hired our apprentices right out of our apprenticeship program because they've worked with them directly. So they know the skills that they're bringing. They've gotten comfortable. They've seen what they can do. And then they have an opening and they say, absolutely, bring them on. So, you know, that's, of course, always the goal is at the end of the apprenticeship is to get them, you know, full-time employment. But really, through the apprenticeship, they get so much exposure that it really is just a very beneficial environment.
Where do your career seekers come from that are interested in either training or getting employment?
So we get them from all over, frankly. It's now become, we've got a lot of word of mouth. So we have a lot of people who have come through our programs that, you know, let a friend know, hey, I went through this program, or I know somebody who did, you know, go check them out. We do a lot, obviously, through social media. We have a fabulous marketing manager. She does a great job with our social media. We work with, you know, all different types of state agencies, whether they be, you know, vocational rehabilitation, commissions for the blind, other disability organizations. We reach out to them, let them know what we're doing. Internationally, like I said, we are global. So, you know, any type of international organizations that we can reach out to, we're actually the only approved training provider by Salesforce for people with disabilities. You know, so Salesforce is, you know, getting the word out as well. So lots of different ways that people hear about us.
I gather, since you said you have an international clientele, that all of your training and experience programs are done remotely?
All of our training is absolutely done remotely. Unfortunately for the international folks, you know, across the ponds, we'll say, have had to deal with that that pesky time zone issue. However, in 2025, we're actually launching several international courses for our Salesforce administration courses. So those people who are, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12 hours ahead of, you know, say here us in Colorado, will not have to get up at 2 in the morning to take one of our courses. Having said that, we've got people certified all over the world.
And then you talked about some of the companies with whom you work. How do you connect with those people?
Our executive director, Mike Hess, works really hard to make as many connections as he can, you know, attends a lot of different conferences, meets up with different corporations. We're the only training provider approved by Salesforce for people with disabilities. So we have, Salesforce is a really strong partner of ours. You know, so they have, you know, opened some doors. A lot of different conferences we attend, you know, somebody say from JP Morgan Chase comes up to us, hey, let's talk. We're really looking to diversify our talent pool. What can we do? You know, we just start the conversation. A lot of times we lead with companies where we do corporate training. So we do a couple different types of training. We do one that's called the Art of Blinders, one that's accessibility empowerment. We also do digital accessibility training that's a little more in depth. But the accessibility empowerment and the Art of Blinders really are designed to get our foot in the door, get companies, hiring managers, individuals, leadership more comfortable with the concept of working with people with disabilities. Unfortunately, you know, for our community, the term reasonable accommodations is a bit scary. Many times companies shy away from working with people with disabilities because of that, you know, oh my gosh, well, how much is a reasonable accommodation going to cost me? Which I think typically reasonable accommodations, I think it's $0 to $500, I think is the average. So not a lot, but it's a scary term. So that's a hump we have to get over. We also have to get over well, how can a blind person use a computer? Most people don't know about screen readers. That's not a common, you know, knowledge. So we go in these education seminars and workshops and show them, this is what a screen reader is. Let them hear it. We've got multiple videos of Salesforce admins doing their work with their screen readers. So we can show them, you know, look, this person just developed a flow and they did it entirely with a screen reader. So really trying to get over those stigmas and misperceptions. And a lot of times from there, most of the time in those groups, the people will come up to us and say, you know, what can we do more? How do we do this? You know, what is our next step? And so then, you know, we really try to work that relationship with them and get to the point where, you know, let's start with one, give one person an opportunity. We never send somebody into corporate doors and say, here you go, you know, good luck. We are very much a partner the entire way, both with the client and also with our career seekers. So we're absolutely there to support. Any questions arise, how should we do this? How can I handle this? You know, we're absolutely there to, you know, essentially hold everybody's hand to make sure it's a successful pairing. And then when that's successful, then typically they're coming back for more.
I'm curious about your funding model. What keeps the organization running and some of your career seekers? Do they generally work through rehab agencies that pay for the service or what?
So the cool thing about BIT is that everything that we offer, all of our services for our career seekers are entirely free. So they don't need voc rehab dollars behind them. They don't need to put up any money. Our classes are free. The job placement services, it's all free. So our funding comes from multiple areas. The main area is actually fees from services. We're a bit different than a lot of other nonprofit organizations in that way. I told you we had the Salesforce consulting service. We have accessibility consulting services. We have our corporate education and training, and we have our staffing services. So four different areas of professional services. We do charge for those services. Now we do charge a lot less than other companies. Say as a Salesforce system integrator, you know, our fees are much lower. Because we are mission focused, but we do charge for all of our auditing services, any Salesforce implementation, any corporate education that we provide, we do charge for that. So a lot of our funding comes from that. We do also have, again, amazing partnerships. So we have, again, Salesforce has supported us in many different ways, financially as well. We have a lot of other donors. We've applied for a number of grants. We actually just were awarded an $8 million grant from the Department of Education from the Disability Innovation Fund to expand our academy courses and to expand our apprenticeship. So we're going to be adding 5 new academy courses and expanding our apprenticeship to the point where we have in year 5, about 90 apprentices at a time. So we're hoping to basically serve another 300 people just through that Department of Education grant.
Well, what a great resource. It sounds like you're doing a great job there.
Thank you. Yes, we have an amazing team at BIT. And I would also want to point out that about 95% of our staff here at BIT are all people with disabilities, both in the career seekers and our internal staff. But again, we service all people with disabilities. So we do have on our staff some people with invisible disabilities, mental health disabilities, deaf and hard of hearing. We have multiple people who have multiple disabilities. Maybe they're blind and they have ADHD. But we are absolutely making it work with a team almost completely consisting of people with disabilities.
Great.
And what a great way to demonstrate to potential hiring companies that anybody can actually do the job independent of what kind of disability they've got.
Absolutely.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Success. Success. Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about the Blind Institute of Technology and the programs and services they offer, and how to contact them.
Well, if people want to find out more about the Blind Institute of Technology and maybe avail themselves of your services, where would you send them?
Best place to do it is to go to our website. So you can get there two ways. Again, blindinstituteoftechnology.org or blindit.org. If you are a career seeker, go to the career seeker page and there is a apply to become a career seeker button. Just click on the button, fill out the form, upload your resume, you're on your way. As far as if you're a client, you want to utilize one of our professional services, again, right on the homepage. I think there's four different buttons that allow you just to very easily click on them, give you more information, and schedule a consultation. So we try to make it as easy as possible to get a hold of us.
And you referred to an active social media presence.
Yes, absolutely. So we're on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, and I guess it's called X now. No longer Twitter.
If somebody prefers to use a telephone, do you have a phone number they can reach you?
You can reach me at 720-933-6388. I am definitely better to get a hold of by email or again through the website is really the best way to reach us. But if you need to give us a call, go ahead and pick up the phone.
And what's the email address?
So the best way, if you're a career seeker, it's actually candidates. So CANDIDATES at blindit.org. If you're a client, it's sales at blindit.org.
And by client, you mean an organization who might be looking to hire disabled people.
Yep, absolutely. An organization that is looking to hire people with disabilities, an organization that is looking for professional services, again, such as Salesforce, accessibility, somebody that would like to talk to us about our corporate training, or other organizations that, you know, again, maybe other vocational rehabilitation agencies or disability organizations that may think that they have a career seeker that really would benefit from our services or just want to find out more about us. That sales at blindit.org really is the best way to go. It hits about four of our inboxes. So one of us will get to you.
And of course, you can find all of that contact information in the show notes associated with this episode, which is 2503, at our newly revamped website at www.eyesonsuccess.net. Check it out and let us know what you think of it.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about chess and playing it with or without vision. We'll talk with Glenn Crawford, Rita Crawford, and Marilyn Bland from the United States Blind Chess Association, or USBCA. They'll discuss the special equipment, correspondence games, the challenges and rewards of the games, variations in the rules to accommodate people with vision loss, and how much fun and rewards they've gotten from playing.
Thanks for joining us this week, and we hope you'll join us for the opening move next week.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.